Today, will the perfect storm hit the property market? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posts covering finance and property news. Well, the Australian property market only goes in one way, if you believe the real estate agents, the online spruikers, and even many ordinary households, as we often see the belief that prices almost religiously double every 10 years coming through in our surveys. But of course, the reality is much more complex. This is partially because we do not have a property market, but rather thousands of individual markets across states, locations, and types of property. And even today, sure, I can highlight some areas where rises have been very strong, but I can also show you areas where there have been falls too. And if you want one example, it's North Ryde units, which have a median price today lower than a decade ago. In March 2017, the median price was $950,000. A decade later, it was $810,000. So net-net, a fall over the past decade. The trend here shows a significant drop in 2019 when APRA tightened up the investment mortgage lending criteria. We only saw a relatively small rise post the COVID rate cuts, and then anemic growth more recently. But then have to be careful because, of course, we've seen a flood of cheaper high-rise properties flood the market. And according to SQM, there's been a surge in units listed for sale recently. So the question now is, are we facing into a more complex set of issues that could indeed dampen property price growth? And could we even see falls more broadly? Well, as you know, I run different scenarios, and top line, yes, I think we could see some falls in some markets ahead. And just to quickly recap on our scenarios, the best case, the Goldilocks zone, would see interest rates sitting at around 4.1% until the middle of 2027 and then fall later because inflation will stay above target until later in 2027. We see strong migration continuing, the first-time buyer booms, but we don't get a recession in Australia and wages growth is stronger than inflation, but that is unlikely given what we know now. There's a base case scenario based on what I call a soft landing, where rates do rise again in May to 4.35%, but then are held there until inflation eases in line with RBA expectations in 2028. But wages rise only slower than inflation, and we get a recession in Australia, and we get a fall in migration too. And the worst case scenario, the nightmare scenario as I call it, is that we see rates rising from 4.1% as inflation steps up, while unemployment rises and wages growth stalls, but later rates are cut, migration drops below average, and we get stagflation. So that's the full impact of the Gulf War. And if we look at that in terms of what this means for home prices, well, in the best case scenario, over the next 3 years, yes, there's still an opportunity to see home prices rise about 5% over 3 years. The base case, though, is a bit different, a fall of 9.3% over 3 years and a very small rise in the next 12 months. The worst case for houses, a fall of 4.9% over the next 12 months and down to 29.1% over 3 years. Units will tend to follow on, although the fall in units in the worst case scenario might be a little less severe because more people are likely to still want to buy units. And even hot markets like South Australia and Adelaide in particular would show potentially in the best case scenario significant rises up 10% over 3 years in the best case scenario, but a fall of 4.8% over 3 years in the base case and a fall of 24.5% over 3 years in the worst case scenario, and a fall this year too. Units would tend to follow on, but the falls would be a little less severe for the unit sector of the market, again, because of relatively high demand. Actually, a recent new report from Macquarie suggested that the pace of house price growth will sink to around 2.5% this year, driven by weaker consumer spending, the auction clearance rates falling, the sales volumes falling, and also caution now seeping through Australia's particularly East Coast-dominated housing market. That's a drop from a 9% rate of gain that they saw last year, reflecting an end to the jump in lower-priced properties as a result of the federal government's 5% home deposit scheme and expectations of higher borrowing costs that have taken root through the year. And they say, with the RBA hiking interest rates, the risk is that price growth slows sharply across Australia. And it says, indeed, price growth was quick to turn lower in the March quarter. So we think dwelling price growth could slow from close to 9% in 2025 to about 2.5% in 2026. And a further potential dampener to the housing market is a potential cut to the capital gains tax discount for property investors. It does seem that the Treasury is considering changes ahead of the May budget, such as a reduction in the discount rate from, say, 50% to 33% or even something else. Cutting the discount that much at a time of higher interest rates, which raises repayment costs for investors at a time when rents don't rise as much, would dampen investor demand, but they say will only have a modest impact on prices. We think prices could perhaps be 1% to 2% lower than otherwise, although that would mean average house prices are still likely to be up over the year, they say. While investor demand may soften, owner-occupier demand would be unaffected by any change to the CGT discount, which would likely limit the extent of any price weakness. That's, of course, assuming that new buyers can get the funds they want and aren't out of employment. The housing market also losing some of the momentum that propelled it higher last year, when the federal government's 5% home deposit scheme put a rocket under the value of homes below the ceiling set for each state and territory. Prices of homes within the caps jumped 6.7% in the 6 months after the scheme formally started on the 1st of October, which is close to double the national rate of growth over the same period, according to Catality. In February, after the International Monetary Fund called on the federal Labour government to curb the scheme, warning it would add to pricing pressures, a spokesperson for Housing Minister Claire O'Neill said the government's expansion of the existing scheme would only add 0.6% to prices over 6 years. But that's not what we've seen. Having said all that, the impact of the scheme was already waning, the Macquarie report says. While the expanded home guarantee scheme has supported growth at lower price points since October, we suspect most of the price adjustment in response to this scheme is now done. Of course, that is because it pulled people forward to purchase rather than bringing more people into the market. The Macquarie report also warns that new home building is likely to weaken and that construction industry insolvencies could worsen. They're at around 1,442 at the moment for the financial year to date, according to ASIC, but they could definitely go up from here. While the recent increase in building approvals should support construction activity in the near term, falls are not unusual during interest rate hiking cycles, they said. Building material costs have also begun to increase due to higher global commodity prices, so we remain alert to the risk of a further pickup in construction company insolvencies, which have remained high since 2023. And if you add in the overhang from the Gulf War and the expectation of economic strangulation and falls in home values, well, they do seem all but certain. So what do we know about the market at the moment? Well, over the Anzac weekend, auction activity was patchy in some areas and actually non-existent in others. According to Catality, nationwide auction volumes dropped sharply, given the fact that it was Anzac Day and a long weekend, with 757 homes going to auction last week, which is down from 2,551 the week before. Of course, many states restrict sales on Anzac Day itself. The true clearance, which we calculate, came in at 40.4%. That's when we compare the listed to those reported sold so far. Nationally, the preliminary clearance rate, which measures the number of reported sales, rose to 60.7% from 54.6%, and it was actually the first time in 9 weeks that the rate went above 60%, but really this is pretty meaningless on very small numbers. South Australia was one of the few states where there is no specific restrictions on sales, So the 135 auctions in Adelaide last week was higher than the 117 the week before, and 67% higher than the Anzac Day week last year. The city's preliminary clearance rate that week was 69.4%, was the highest in the nation. New South Wales and Queensland effectively bans real estate auctions on Anzac Day, and Victoria bans auctions before 1 p.m. In Western Australia and Tasmania, there is, quote, a strong expectation that sales will not take place on the day itself. So it's all over the shop, really. While Sydney had the most auctions in the week at 247, evidence of the slowdown in the city did remain as it posted its fifth straight week of a preliminary clearance rate below 60%, according to Catality. The true clearance was just 44.4%. There were 242 auctions in Melbourne last week, down from 1,231 the week before, and the clearance rate rose to 62.5%, which was the highest since the last week of March. But again, the true clearance was just 43.4% on very low volumes. And the clearance rate for Brisbane's 87 auctions slumped to 52.7%. That's the lowest early clearance rate since May last year. The Brisbane true clearance was just 33.3%. Canberra listed 29 for auction, reported clearance of 50% despite 12 being passed in, and that gave a true clearance of 44.8%. Next week, we should expect the auction levels to increase, but we do expect sales to be depressed as more vendors with a real need to sell as financial pressures rise tend to veer away from auctions altogether. Finally, of course, we will get the first quarter CPI this coming week, and the next RBA decision will come on the 5th of May. Recent outings from the bank seem to indicate a potential rate hike to quell the inflation pulse we are seeing, and one which could be amplified by the Gulf War. The market has a 74% chance of another rate hike at this meeting. That's the highest probability for some time, and a cash rate peak of 4.71% by December. Which begs the question, will the risks of financial instability created by potentially falling home prices, especially bearing in mind the bank's exposures to the property sector via mortgages and commercial lending, mute the RBA's ability to lift rates? And will the government pull another must-save-the-property-market rabbit out of the policy hat? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll know soon enough. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.